You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
We are approaching the days of panic. Panic. Let me define that for you. Simply, a sudden, meaning you didn't expect it, a sudden overpowering terror, often affecting many people at once. Some words that you can use in place of panic are fear, terror, alarm. It also means a sudden widespread alarm concerning finances, often resulting in a rush to sell property. We are approaching the days of panic. Will you be among those that do panic? I hope not, or I failed. Panic. But I turn your attention to Psalm chapter 42. Christian, the psalmist writes, starting in verse 1, as the hart, that's a form of a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Let me give you an understanding of what cast down means. It's a shepherding term, seeing that these psalms were written mostly by a shepherd. A sheep can get cast down. And what that means is, as you might understand, a sheep at certain times of the year is covered in wool. It's heavy, very heavy in its own wool. And there comes a time where, whether it trips or falls down or something, it ends up on its back with its legs up in the air. It cannot get up because of the weight of its wool. And when a sheep is in that condition, it's cast. It's cast down. And literally, the shepherd has to come with his crook, with his rod, and kind of stick it under the sheep and kind of roll it over and help it get up. Or it lays there and dehydrates and dies. That's what the psalmist had in mind when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Verse 5 again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? That word hope means wait. Wait thou in God. Be patient. Tarry. Trust. Expect. Let your expectation be in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. When they say, where is thy God? Hope thou in God. Dear ones. And he finishes it by saying, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. A few years back, a situation arose that revealed something that I must warn you about for your own good. As was the usual case each Sabbath, even through today, I was taking some people home after our meeting, and I injured myself while away from home. Some of you may remember that, if you were here. It was serious enough that I needed paramedics and an ambulance to take me to the hospital for help. My wife was notified, and one of the brothers had to come and finish my task. It was not long before word spread among the church family that, for reasons yet unknown, I had been taken by ambulance to the hospital. My point in telling you this story is this. One of the families responded in a way that surprised me, but could be a response that might be more common than I would expect. And for me, a reason to be greatly concerned for you. When this particular family heard that I'd been taken by ambulance to the emergency room, more than one of the family reacted by saying this or something like this. Oh my God! What are we going to do without Brother Scott? And another, what's going to happen to us now? How are we going to make it? And other such remarks and frantic discussions went on in this home. The reaction did not flatter me or please me at all. It revealed a reliance on me and not on the Lord, and that is not spiritually healthy. There was a seriously out of balance and unhealthy relationship exposed by those statements and their fear that I might not be around anymore. As was the actual case, it was not for a life-threatening reason that I was taken to the hospital, although I was injured in a way that only a doctor could attend to. Dear brothers and sisters, I am not your salvation, nor am I your source. I am not the one that your hope is to be built on for anything. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. As the chorus declares that we all know and sing from time to time, and you should believe for yourself, my life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. It's not in Brother Scott. Therefore, today we're going to challenge you to examine your own hearts and your minds about who and where both your confidence and your hopes are resting. If you will give the Lord the chance by your faith in Him, He will not let you down at any time to come in what lies ahead. A man might, through his own weakness or by death, but Jehovah Jireh will not. I just used the term a couple of minutes ago, a seriously out of balance and unhealthy relationship in how this family looked at me. There is a balance that is normal and acceptable to God with regard to human relationships and with the Lord. As long as, for the believer in Jesus, the weight of our hope and reliance is in God. Let me say that again. There is a balance that is normal and acceptable to God with regard to human relationships and with the Lord, as long as, for the believer in Jesus, the weight of our hope and our reliance is in God. Seen as examples in God's Word, such normal and acceptable feelings of need and reliance toward a man are such as these. In other words, these things are normal, they're acceptable, as long as they don't become idolatrous, in a manner of speaking. It's normal and acceptable for a wife to have feelings of need and reliance on her husband, as well as younger children toward their parents. Perhaps a widow toward her children or other capable family members. Possibly elderly parents toward their grown sons and daughters. There comes a time, from time to time, where elderly parents need to rely on the help from adult sons or daughters. In lesser degrees, possibly Christians toward their godly leaders, who are indeed godly leaders. And of course, we see throughout the Word of God the relationship of the bondservant to that of his or her master. So there are times and places where it is normal and acceptable to God in human relationships to some degree rely on a man. You can easily recognize the naturalness of looking to certain others for what one needs day to day. But for believers that are adults, there must come an overarching strength to walk their walk of faith and be more reliant upon God than any human being, including those just listed. When the reverse is true, we rely more on man than we do on God. When the reverse is true in Christians, it is evidence of weak faith and a poor discipleship experience and probably flawed spiritual leadership. Let me give you an imperfect example. Your discipleship journey is like being rescued from a tiny life raft in the middle of the ocean by the small crew of an old-fashioned sailing craft, of which I am just one member of the crew. Land is still half an ocean away, and each day's progress is at times safe and enjoyable, but at other times it can be threatening and very dangerous. I am given to you with the gifts that God has given me to be helpful and maybe even instrumental for a time in your rescue and your relationship with the boat's captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I am just a guy with a map and a compass and little more. You can consult with me, double check and verify the heading I am recommending to you, but your life and your rescue is the responsibility of the captain, who has the tools and experience to get you safely to shore, in our case, heaven, and not the lake of fire. If the navigator somehow gets washed overboard, you must not lose hope, but have become more reliant upon the man that owns and commands the boat and has all the intuition and resources needed to complete the journey and deliver you safely home. Your complete faith must be in that person and not the guy with the map and the compass, if you follow my analogy. John the Baptizer, better known as John the Baptist, was such a man as this also. He was a navigator of sorts. Listen to what the Holy Spirit had to say about him, and listen to what he had to say about himself, and especially what and who his message was about. We're going to read you some passages that have to do with John. We're going to start in Mark chapter 1. In verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, and this was written about John, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." That was the message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John's message was this: the Messiah is coming and you need to be clean of your sins. You need to be sorry for them and prepared to meet him. "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey." He wasn't flying around the country in his own personal jet, like so many evangelizers do. He wasn't dressed in $3,000 suits and $1,000 pairs of shoes. He didn't have a host of bodyguards surrounding him like some of them do today. He was a simple man with a message that needed to be heard. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. John said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." In other words, mean it. Let there be changes in your life that produce good fruit, because you have repented, truly repented. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Luke chapter 3. Halfway through verse 4, again we hear the message of John: "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." In verse 10, "And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none." Here he was beginning to be practical in their change of life. He was telling them where they needed to stop doing the obvious things that were wrong, that were unhelpful, that were inconsiderate. "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. You see, the history of the publicans in the land of Judea was they would know, these were Jews themselves, by the way, they would know how much taxes they were supposed to collect according to the main tax collector, but they would always add a little bit more for their own pocket. So if the taxes was 2 shekels, they would ask for 5 or 6 and demand it. And so John, in seeing the tax collectors and them being sincere, says, Exact no more than what is appointed you. In other words, trust God for that extra that you might need. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Because the soldiers were very fond of putting people in situations where they had to bribe them or pay them a gift in order to get out of the trouble that the soldiers made up they were in, if you follow my reasoning. Be content with what you're paid to be a soldier. Don't extort money out of people because of your authority or your sword. So John there was, of course, preaching the message of repentance. He was telling them the Messiah was near, and he was telling them to live in such a way as would honor God. That was his map and his compass. John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he. And I can see him pointing up on onto the hillside of the river's banks. I can see him pointing, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then the one you really need to cue in on, especially as we're talking about your hope being in God and not a man. John chapter 3. In verse 30, John says this, He, Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. That word increase means to grow, wax strong, be enlarged in your life. He must increase, speaking of Jesus. But I, just a mere man, I must decrease. That word decrease means lessen, make lower or inferior. To decrease in authority or in dignity, I must decrease. He said in verse 31, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. That was John. He was merely a navigator, a guy with a compass and a map like me. He pointed people to Jesus and told them what was expected of them. But he was not their salvation. He was not their Savior, though many thought that he might be. John understood his mission and his place as just a representative and a worker in the plan of God to redeem whosoever will. He knew that he was just a man and that he, too, needed the very things that he was declaring others needed, and that all the attention needed to be given to the Lord Jesus. His message in humility is all too rare among those that think they are leaders in our Christian churches today. Here is my best advice to you. Hope thou in God. I am still a sinner being saved by grace. I can let you down. I make mistakes. I still need to be washed clean in the blood of Jesus, which means I still need the work of the cross in my life. The rescue ship belongs to another, and I am just an instrument, a human tool for the use of Almighty God for as long as He's pleased to use me. I urge you to check yourself and make sure that your hope and your trust is not in me or some other earthly man or woman, but in the Lamb of God, who is now a lion. Let things such as these that I'm going to read you become your mind and your thoughts on such matters, and no one else. Psalm chapter 27, starting in verse 1 through verse 6. Listen to what the Word says. This is to be our heart toward God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hope thou in God, my brothers and sisters. Psalm chapter 73, 24 through 28. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For, lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 140, verses 6 through 8. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. One more passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 is an example of somebody that trusted in the Lord and led his nation to trust in the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verses 1 through 8. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah, that was the king at the time, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, verse 3 it says, he took counsel. In other words, he sought the Lord. He went to God. Verse 6, and he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. And he wasn't talking about his own soldiers. He's talking about the Lord and his host. Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Stories like that is what you need to know and why we encourage you and urge you and exhort you. Read the Word daily. Get this stuff in you so that you can call upon those stories and those victories and those encouragements when you are in a position to be otherwise cast down. Hope thou in God. And in Him trust alone. He will not fail you. and He will never forsake you. I beg you, look past me and all other men, and keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, for it is He that is the author and finisher of your faith. Are you hearing this morning? I truly hope so. But today this is not all that I want you to hear. There is more to my urgent plea, although this is half of what I want you to hear. Don't look to me as your salvation. I'm just your brother. Perhaps more equipped or more mature in some areas than in others, I don't know, but I'm just your brother. But the second half of what I want you to be aware of is other things that you're counting on, that you're relying on, that you're trusting in. In the Western countries, we Christians, at least in the Western countries, have become soft and reliant on people and systems and entitlements and limited resources, all of which very, very soon will come to an end. Where will you be then if you trust the arm of flesh more than the arm of God when these things fail? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, a passage you know all too well. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37, verse 21 through 28. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Hebrews chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Pay attention to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Look past me and see Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister, serve, the same one to another, as good servants of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Again, the word minister means serve. that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, choose wisely your priorities and how you live your life. I said early on that there was a balance to be maintained, where on the one side we have those we look to for help and guidance and fellowship and to provide for us, but on the other side of the scale must be God to keep things balanced. But for so many Christians, our reliance is almost entirely on ourselves, on our breadwinners, and on the world's systems, its handouts, and what it provides us. These systems are drying up as quickly as the water in these days for drought-stricken California. As believers, we must rapidly shift our trust for what we need each day to Jehovah Jireh. That's a term that Abraham used when God provided the ram for the sacrifice instead of his son Isaac. Jehovah Jireh, it simply means the Eternal One sees to it. The Eternal One sees to it the needs of your life. Let me present you an incomplete list of the things that many have faith in. Perhaps some in this very room. They have faith in, but are things that are drying up and will soon be unavailable to those that depend on them. And then what will you do? How reliant are you on these things I am about to list? What will you do if tomorrow, and it is possible, literally tomorrow, next week, this month? What will you do if tomorrow these sources that you trust to provide you, to provide for you month after month, are suddenly bankrupt and leave you out in the cold? Who will you turn to when the checks stop coming and there's no money for the things you believe that you must have? How much of an idolatrous God have these things become to you? Gods that have no real power, have no feelings, and cannot or will not hear you. I say to professing Christians something similar to what Aaron declared to Israel when the calf came out of the fire. He said, these be thy gods, such as we have here. Things such as this. If you have a job, it is in jeopardy. Don't allow it to be your God. If you are receiving unemployment benefits, they are coming to an end, if they haven't already. If you are retired and on a pension or other forms of support, an IRA, a 401k, or whatever, those systems are about to be confiscated by our government. SSI, Supplemental Security Income, cannot go on much longer with the way things are. Governmental programs such as Medicaid, Medi-Cal, WIC, welfare aid and disability sources are running out of funding. Federal Social Security benefits and Medicare coverage are strained to their breaking point. Our medical resources, doctors and hospitals and clinics, as well as all over-the-counter and prescribed drug programs, are even now falling subject to Obamacare, which is essentially Antichrist control. The EBT, which is the food stamp program, is beginning to fail all over the country, as well as nonprofit food bank organizations and programs. They're running out of food. Banks are just a few dollars away from illiquidity and insolvency. That basically means they're going to go bankrupt and take your money with them if you leave it in there. Federal and state grants for business and education are drying up. Food prices are rising at an accelerated rate. Soon, key interest rates will explode as borrowed money and borrowing money become too costly for anyone to continue. And if your money in the bank is your God, it is about to disappear. Maybe not next week, but very soon. These be your gods, I wonder? Do you find yourself so totally dependent on things such as these, government programs, doctors and drugs, and banking systems, that when they fail, you are in very serious trouble and without hope? Your hope and confidence is misplaced. And that is part of the devil's plan to get you to take the beast's mark. Brother and sister, they are setting you up to have to take the mark if you want to see your doctor, if you want to get your drugs. You will need the mark for your monthly check in order to keep paying the rent and buying food and even to go to work at your job. Without the mark, you will not be able to work your job. Have you given any thought to your life without these things and what you would do? Have you been talking to the Lord about what you need to do to cope with a serious downturn in our nation's economic condition? What, perhaps, have you already set aside to help yourself, your household, and those other family members that will show up at your door when such trouble hits? Are you sounding the alarm among your own family members and getting yourself and your household ready for the changes that are even now forcing themselves into our lives? All questions you should consider. Your hope is neither to be in me nor the arm of man, but in God. Hope thou in God, beloved. I admonish you by love in the strongest possible terms that if you are not already doing so, start to encourage yourself in the Lord this week through prayer and consistent study of God's Word. Make Him your source and chief resource. Make Him your source and chief resource. Trust Him to give you grace for the healing of your physical needs, maybe your mental and emotional conditions, when the doctor and his pills are no longer available to you. And don't wait until that happens to begin. Stop spending your money on entertainment and so many comfort foods and other things you don't need, and instead start buying storable food, because I remind you, when the Lord shows up, and He will probably ask what you have that He can use, that He can multiply. Remember, what did He ask Moses? What is that in your hand? And He used that rod until the day Moses died. To the widow, the prophet said, "What do you have?" And she said, "All I have is a small pot of oil." He said, go gather all the vessels that you can. Gather not a few. In other words, beg and borrow. Don't steal them. But beg and borrow as many as you can get your hands on. She didn't understand really what was going on. But she did borrow a number. And then the prophet said, go and take your little bottle of oil and fill them. And don't stop until they're all full. And that little bottle of oil filled cans and jars and buckets and all kinds of stuff. And when they got to the last one, she told the family member, go borrow some more. And they couldn't do it in time and the oil stopped. When the Lord shows up, He says, what do you have that I can use? What have you put aside? What is useful? Then I remind you of the lad up on the mountainside that only had a few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. And Jesus fed about 10,000 people with that and then had more leftovers than the lad started with. And what about the means to support yourself for the bare bones living in hard times that are coming? If you trust the Lord, if you really trust Him and not in man, He will make a way. It will not include the comforts and the pleasures that you are used to, but He will provide according to His riches and for His glory and according to His word as you exercise faith in God. Hope thou in God. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, the father with the demonized child, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord made up the difference, didn't He, and cast out that demon. All things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. And when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and He saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you really believe that I can do this? In other words, they said unto Him, yea, Lord! Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith, in other words, if you really believe, you can have what you ask for. Can you imagine two of them? He said, yes, Lord, we believe. And He touched their eyes, said, according to your faith. The one is healed and the other continues to be blind. What does that say about the blind man? He had no faith and he lied to the Lord. Now, that didn't happen. But my point is, He said, according to your faith, so shall it be. Do you have the faith to trust God for these things that are going to go away? To make up the difference somehow, some way. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There's no other verse like that in all the Gospels. No other statement. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man that was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Him. And they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went up upon the housetop. They broke through the roof. That's how dramatic their faith in Jesus was. They're going to find a way to get this man, perhaps a brother, perhaps a father, perhaps a son, perhaps a beloved neighbor. They knew that if they got this man in the very presence of Jesus, he would be healed. What did they do? Did they wait until the crowd went away? No. They crawled up the side of the house. Can you imagine taking a stretcher up the side of an old-fashioned house in old Israel. The steps are barely wide enough for a man to go up them, let alone people carrying a stretcher with dead weight. They carried their friend to the roof. They began chipping and peeling away the roof, and when there was a hole big enough, and that's a pretty big hole to let a man down through, their faith helped them dig a hole, put this man through the roof, lowered him right before Jesus, and he healed them. There was power to heal present. Some of you need to get a hold of that because of the kinds of needs you have with your doctors and pharmacies. They're going to go away. You need to get a hold of Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 17. One more example, and perhaps hundreds of examples that you really need to know are in there to recognize what God can do when all men have failed you. 1 Kings 17, verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." This wasn't even in Israel. This was in Gentile land. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." I always find it interesting. It says, God told the prophet, "I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." And when he got there, she didn't know anything about it. But God had spoken the word and brought it to pass, didn't he? "So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." That's pretty brazen, isn't it? "Make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not," that means it did not run out, "neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Can you get a hold of these things? You need to. And the last one I'll read, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. The theme this morning is hope thou in God. Not in your banker, not in your government, not even in your family. I'm not saying walk away from them, especially your family. I'm just saying you need to be careful where you've put your full faith and confidence. And it should not be in the U.S. government. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. In fact, you ought to memorize this. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Thank you.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.